podcast from the First Church of Christ in East Palestine, Ohio. We're glad you decided to join us and hope you enjoyed this week's message.
How do we determine the value of something? The dictionary defines value as worth and usefulness or importance to the possessor. He who created us understood us perfectly, offered for us his Son Jesus Christ freely and willingly for the redemption of our sin, not something perishable like silver or gold. 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19 states, "For you know that it was not of perishable things, such as silver and gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down by your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." This was not a purchase that was made hastily. This was a plan of infinite wisdom from the beginning. Was it made out of necessity? Was it forced upon him? Absolutely. There was no other way to show his love for us. God neither needed us, nor could he be helped by our feeble efforts. Teaching us what value we ought to place on our own souls and how much he is willing to give for our salvation, he went to the cross for us. The death and suffering of Christ add much more to the value of our soul, for he laid down his own life to be a ransom for ours, when nothing else was sufficient to answer the price. We should always see this grand truth and learn how to put a value on our own soul. Nothing is more humbling and humiliating than to see our souls once lost due to our own foolishness and sin, and yet redeemed by the merit of another. The gospel is humbling. It declares that we are to be saved. Christ must do it all. We cannot redeem ourselves. Shall our precious souls, upon which Jesus placed such high value, for whom he paid the price, undervalue ourselves to the point of becoming a slave to Satan? Never. Christ paid such great cost, his own blood. Why would we sell our own souls to the world so cheap? We are worth so much more than that. Jesus says so through the cross. We are reminded of what we are worth to the Lord and Savior each Lord's Day when we gather around the table to partake of the emblems of the Lord's Supper in remembrance of him. Let's pray. Dear God, our Father in heaven, we come humbly before you at this time to ask forgiveness for our sin, for we know that it is only through the acceptance of your Son, Jesus Christ, who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our sin, so that we could be saved from the grasp of Satan and his evil schemes. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing on this bread and juice that represents the body and blood of Christ. We love you and we thank you for your unconditional love. In Christ's name, amen.
Since this is Grandparents' Day, I ask a few grandchildren to come today and share some thoughts and stories about their grandparents. Now, we can't have all grandchildren come up and talk about their grandparents, right? I mean, after all, if you think about it, everyone here is a grandchild. So that would take a long time if we had you all come up. But I thought it'd be neat to have a few grandchildren come up and share and just remind us how important and valuable grandparents are.
Hello. Happy Grandparents' Day, everyone. For those that don't know me, I'm Quinn or Quinlan, daughter of Mike and Amy Crow and granddaughter of Don and Carrie Snyder and Mike and Jane Crow. So I'm so thankful that I grew up so close to my grandparents. I have so many precious memories with them all. One of my fondest memories with Grandma Snyder is her picking me up from school one day each week, and she would take me here actually for piano lessons with Mr. Ostick. I loved those memories, and afterwards we would always get McDonald's or Dairy Queen, and Grandma would always get an ice cream sundae, and I always wanted to be like her, so I would always get an ice cream sundae too. With Grandpa, I will never forget how all of us grandkids, whenever we'd see him, we'd all run to him and give him the biggest bear hug because we wanted to be the first one to give him a big hug. And we'd always be in competition to be his favorite grandchild. And, of course, I would always win. So that was great. With Grandma and Grandpa Crow, or Grandma and Oompa as we'd call him, I hold dear to my heart all the fun days that we would work on their farm, and I put in that quotations because we would really just play in the mud and look for frogs on the ground. And then we'd have some outdoor movie nights or sleepovers, and Oompa would always make his famous vanilla milkshakes. My mom and dad are starting to make all their grandkids milkshakes when they come over, which I just love that. My Oompa, he passed away a couple of years ago, so it makes my heart happy that my kids will get to experience a little bit of my Oompa through my parents, so I thank them for that. And with that said, I also want to thank my parents for being such an amazing Mimi and Papa to my son and my nieces and nephews. They know that when they're with Mimi and Papa, they will surely have lots of fun and get lots of love. My grandparents have taught me how to have fun, work hard, the importance of family, but most importantly, the importance of faith in God and living my life for Him. That is the most important message there is, and I hope that I can lead my children in their faith, like, or with God, as my grandparents have led me. Thank you, Grandma and Grandpa, Grandma and Oompa, my mom and dad, for being the best grandparents and for giving me your unconditional love. I love you, and happy Grandparents' Day to you and all the other grandparents here. Thank you.
Over 70 million Americans are grandparents, but I'm going to tell you why two are my favorite. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Lizzie McRae, Bob and Carol Grove's granddaughter. Today I have the honor of sharing how great they are and their impact on my life. My entire childhood, memories surrounding them were nothing but happy. Since I was young, they've read to me, played games with me, taken me places, done homework with me, and instilled core values within me. Some of my best memories were of our family trips, adventures, and our after-church meals every Sunday. They gave me everything I needed as a child and so much more, and I'm forever thankful for that. As my 9th birthday approached, my family and I had received life-altering news. My grandfather was given a terminal cancer diagnosis, and we were going to have limited time left together, even with chemotherapy, radiation, and several surgeries. In this period of hardship, I still got to see the best side of my grandparents. Through this incredibly hard time, my grandparents remained faithful to God, to each other, and to their friends and family as well. Watching their grace, forgiveness, and trust through this experience was inspiring. In the last few months I spent with my grandfather, I learned skills of bravery, strength, determination, faith, and so much more. But after he passed, I learned even more from my grandmother, who taught me the importance of vulnerability and grief, how to remain faithful even when life is unfair, and how to always trust in God's plan because He may offer something better in the future. Watching both of their relationships with God through this challenging time set the best example of how my relationship with God should be. Within a year of my grandfather's death, I made the decision to be baptized. I have my whole family to thank for guidance with that decision, but truly, I have my grandparents to thank for the motivation to do so. As I wrap up, I'd just like to restate how truly blessed I am to have the grandparents I have, always being loved and cared for, knowing that they're always proud of me, and knowing that my grandpa is looking down, smiling, and protecting me. Thank you.
You can go back to your seats now. You listen to them and you realize that grandparents are very special. But you listen to them and you realize that grandchildren are very special too, aren't they? So that's pretty cool. And you can tell from what they said that their grandparents have made a real impact upon their lives. I read a story about a grandmother and grandson who went to the zoo, and this little boy had freckles. Just his face was covered with little red freckles. And they got to the lion's cage, and there were two local artists there painting lion paws on the faces of the kids, and there was a line. So as they were standing in line, the little girl in front of this little boy noticed all his freckles, and she said, "I don't think the artist is going to have anywhere to paint a lion paw on your face. You have too many freckles." And this upset the little boy, and he put his head down, kind of embarrassed, and his grandmother noticed that, and his grandmother leaned down and said to him, "I love freckles. When I was a little girl, I really wanted to have freckles." And he said, "Really?" And she said, "Sure." And she traced the freckles on his face with her hand and said, "Freckles are the most beautiful thing in the world. Don't you think so?" And the little boy said, "No." And she said, "Well, what are more beautiful than freckles?" And he looked into her face and lovingly said, "Wrinkles." So, Grandparents, you really do make a difference in the lives of your grandchildren. You influence them. You love them. You instruct them. You encourage them. You discipline them. And this doesn't probably happen very often, but you might even spoil them a little bit. And you set an example for them, leaving them a legacy. So that's the question, you know, we want to ask this morning. What kind of legacy do you want to leave? Have you ever heard of Victor Dorman? You know who Victor Dorman is? It's unlikely that you have, even though he was a multimillionaire. He was a chairman of a company, a philanthropist, and an officer in the Navy. But he lived a really quiet life. He wasn't in the news a lot. But when he died, his obituary was in the New York Times, and this is what it said. Victor Dorman died on March 4th at his home in Delray Beach, Florida. He was 80. Then it said, Victor was the man who changed the way Americans buy cheese by putting the paper slices between the cheese. Do you think that's how Victor Dorman wanted to be remembered? As the man who put the paper between the slices of cheese? Grandparents, and I think everyone else here today, how do you want to be remembered? What do you want to be known for? What kind of legacy do you want to leave behind? Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22 says, a good person leaves an inheritance to their children's children. Now, there's another way to read this. A good grandparent, because that's what they're talking about here, grandparents. A good grandparent leaves an inheritance to their grandchildren. Now, when you read this, don't simply think about money or about property. Now, there's nothing wrong with leaving your grandchildren money or property. Just ask them. They'll tell you there's nothing wrong with that. If you want to do that, go ahead. Leaving some money and leaving them some financial help, that can be a very good thing. But that's not enough. Don't think about that inheritance as only taking care of your kids here in this world, just taking care of your kids financially. The inheritance that you leave your family, your legacy, includes your words and your values and your faith. And your life affects your children, your grandchildren, your descendants, more than you will ever know. Let me tell you a story about two family trees from early American history. In 1897, a man by the name of A.E. Winship was asked by a scholarly organization to prepare a paper on that great preacher, Jonathan Edwards. As he prepared the paper, he discovered that a couple members of Jonathan Edwards' family were actually members of the New York Prison Commission. And just a few years earlier, in 1894, they asked a man by the name of Richard Dugdale to visit the prison and make a report. In reading Dugdale's report, Winship read about a man named Max Juke, who lived during the same time frame as Jonathan Edwards in the early 1700s to the mid-1700s. Now, his name wasn't really Max Juke. That was a pseudonym. They changed his name, but he was a real person. And when we read about his descendants, they were real people. Winship compared what Dugdale wrote about Max Juke and his family with what he found out about Jonathan Edwards and his family. As Dugdale visited the prisons, he was surprised to find criminals in six different prisons who were all descendants of Max Juke. So he researched, he went deeper and researched five generations of Max Juke's family. And he discovered that Max Juke was a backwoodsman. He lived in the hills of New York State. He was a hard drinker. He didn't care much for work. He had many children, some who were illegitimate. He was basically a man of the world. Dugdale studied 709 known descendants, and this is what he discovered. 280 of his descendants lived as paupers. They were extremely poor. 140 were known criminals. 60 were thieves. 6 were murderers. 128 were prostitutes. 300 died early. In summing up his study, Richard Dugdale wrote, "The almost universal traits of the family were idleness, ignorance, and vulgarity. They would not work. They could not be made to study. They loved vulgarity. It was difficult to find anyone in the family who was honest, industrious, pure, and prosperous." What a legacy, what? To leave your family, you know, to have people follow in his footsteps. On the other hand, you take a look at Jonathan Edwards, this preacher's descendants. They looked at 1,394 descendants when he studied his family tree. Of these, there were practically no lawbreakers. There were 100 lawyers and 30 judges. 13 were college presidents. 100 were professors. 62 were physicians. There were a total of 100 missionaries and preachers and college professors. 80 were elected to public office. There were 3 mayors, 3 governors, several congressmen, 3 senators, 1 vice president. 60 were authors, writing 135 books. 75 were officers in the Navy or the Army. So when you look at the family trees, you can see a sharp contrast between Max's family tree, his descendants, and Jonathan Edwards. What a legacy Jonathan and his wife left. What a tremendous impact they had on their family for generations to come. So again, what kind of legacy do you want to leave? I read an article on the internet entitled, "Architect Legacy Goes Up in Smoke." The article was about a world-renowned architect by the name of Louis Sullivan. He had built 135 buildings in Chicago and many, many more over the country. But by the time the article was written, 115 of those buildings had burned down. So the headline read, "Legacy Up in Smoke." And that phrase makes you think a little, doesn't it? Are the things I'm giving my time to, my energy to, my days to, my resources to, are they just going to go up in smoke? Or are the things I'm giving my time and my resources and my energy to, are they going to leave a lasting legacy? Are they going to benefit my children and my grandchildren and other people? And not just here on this earth, but for eternity. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 through 10, we read about Abraham and also his son and one of his grandsons, Jacob. And verse 8 says, "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise." Now, because of Abraham's faith, his son Isaac and his grandson Jacob shared in his inheritance. Now, that inheritance included living in the promised land here on earth. Abraham lived in tents in Canaan with his son Isaac and with his grandson Jacob. Abraham knew his grandson Jacob. Jacob knew his grandfather Abraham. Jacob was about 15 years old when Abraham died. And Jacob was blessed with an inheritance here on earth because of his grandfather Abraham. And that was good. But that was not enough. Because the Bible says, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and yet loses his soul?" What if Jacob's inheritance only included a portion of Abraham's wealth? What would that have gained him? But Jacob's inheritance included more than that, because Abraham shared his faith with his grandson. So in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11, verse 10, it says about Abraham, "For he," Abraham, "was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God." He did not live just for the promised land there in Canaan. He was looking forward to that heavenly city. A city that will never go up in smoke. And because he shared his faith and because he instructed his son Isaac and his grandson Jacob, they too will inherit that heavenly city. Grandparents and parents and everyone else here today, we should want to leave an inheritance that is more than temporary. We should want to leave an inheritance that's eternal. We need to make sure to leave an inheritance that will bless our grandkids, our children, our friends, our family, not only here in this world, but will bless them forever. And we do that, it makes for a happy life and for a happy Grandparents' Day. So that's what I want to challenge you to do as you leave here. Think about your legacy. It really doesn't matter what your age is. What are you leaving behind? You don't want to be like Max Juke. You want to be like Jonathan Edwards and leave a wonderful legacy that shares your values and your faith. If you're here this morning and you're a Christian, that's the challenge for you. And if you're here this morning and you haven't yet accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's certainly something we'd love for you to do. The Bible says it's easy to become a Christian. All we have to do is have faith, and it's a faith that leads us to confess Christ and to repent of our sins and then to be baptized into Christ. And every Sunday we sing an invitation hymn, and we give anybody an opportunity who hasn't yet been baptized into Christ. If you come forward, we'll take your confession, and we have our baptistry ready, and we'll baptize you into Christ today. And everybody here would love to see that. So if you have a decision to make, if you walk forward today as we sing our invitation hymn, we'll take your confession and baptize you into Christ. Let's stand as we sing.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to join us in person, we have a traditional service at 8:45 and a contemporary service at 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings. Check our Facebook page for evening adult and youth service times throughout the week.